Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Middays, I'm Susie Larson, and I'm always honored to get to spend time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. And if you listen often enough, you know I'm real, and I don't have pretense, and so I'm just going to be real with you. Would you be praying for us? Because there's just been one technical issue after another behind the scenes, and they're different from each other. Honestly, I don't think that there's like a demon behind every bush, but this feels like warfare. So if you would just be praying for us, because we have a really important show for you today. We have a great show planned for you today. You know, for 8 years, I hosted Live the Promise, which aired during Bill's time slot, the 3 to 5 time slot. And my friend Lisa Bevere joined me once a month during a number of those years. And we called those features Fierce Faith. Well, she's amazing. And she travels all over the world. And we just love her ministry. Well, recently we had Lisa's son on, Addison. He'd written a book titled Saints, Becoming More Than Christians. And we had such a great time with Addison that we just asked him to become just a regular guest, a monthly guest on Middays. And of course, he said yes, and we're so excited about that. Well, I just think if one Bevere is good, two Beveres are great. And we've got them both here today. So buckle up is all I can say. Lisa and Addison both join me today. We'll draw from Lisa's book, Strong, and Addison's book, Saints. I'm pretty sure we've got a few copies of each of those books to give away again today. So you know the drill. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. A quick announcement. Just need you to know, due to the COVID crisis, we've moved our Christian Writers Conference online this year. It takes place in July. We have an A-list faculty, editors, agents, experts. We've got Karen Kingsbury. We've got Dr. Alicia Riccioli as our keynotes. It's all still going, but it's going online. What is good about this is that we dropped the price $100. It's $150. And instead of only getting to attend 4 workshops, you get access to over 20 workshops. So I pray that you'll join us. It's going to be great. You'll find more information on the web at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Lisa Bevere is a New York Times bestselling author. She's authentic and passionate in the way that she teaches scripture, profound biblical truths with practical application. She and her husband, John, are the founders of Messenger International. It's an organization committed to developing uncompromising followers of Christ who transform their world. When she's not traveling the globe, you'll find her in Colorado with her 4 sons, her daughters in love, and their grandchildren and her grandchildren. Addison Bevere is a man who appreciates the simple things in life. Time spent playing with his 4 kids, late night conversations with his wife, interesting words that no one uses, and a meaningful day at work, and of course, a good book. Addison's also the COO of Messenger International. He's also the co-founder of Sons and Daughters TV. This is the one time I'll have you both talk at the same time. Lisa and Addison, awesome to have you on together.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Yay! I wanted you to talk at the same time. So good to have you. And we're praying that our connection stays and we don't lose you as we did a couple minutes before the show. So we love to start this, and you both know this, you've been on before. We love to start by talking scripture. If there's just a verse you've been pondering, just a passage you've been hanging around these days, Lisa, I'll start with you.
Okay. So mine is 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And if we ever thought that applied, it really applies now. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
Well, there's a
lot of what I was thinking.
You know, I was thinking, I got to say, Lisa, people are tempted towards all kinds of things, tempted towards overindulgence to numb the pain, tempted towards fear and towards worry. I mean, when you feel like some of that is coming at you, say more a bit, if you would, about how you engage your faith and know that God's provided a way out for you.
Well, one of the things that I have, it's a practice I used to do more that I've had to do more in this season, is I've had to learn to speak to my soul. You know, because the truth is your emotions can take you hostage. And you look at David, he's in the wilderness, and in Psalm 42:5, just has, like, okay, I need to talk to you, soul. He says, why are you cast down? Oh, my soul, why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. And so I think too many people think that they can't speak to their soul. They think that their emotions are their reality. And, you know, as a woman who just recently traveled through, I'm pretty sure I'm close to the end of menopause, I have learned that I cannot listen to the crazy woman in my head. I have to say, okay, listen, woman, you are not the final answer. You are not saying that. And so talking to our soul and speaking the word of God and reminding our soul where our hope is, I think it's a very powerful thing right now. Our hope is not in the government. Our hope is not in everything going back to normal. Our hope is not in how much money we have in the bank. Our hope is not in once we have community again. Our hope is in God. And Amen. That is where we have to put our anchor, in the one who is immovable.
Very, very good. Addison, what about you?
Yeah, I'm having revival over here listening to my mama. But for me,
Even though she's talking menopause, you're going to get saved.
Someone's gonna... Come on. There's something there for everyone.
Yes, exactly.
So for me, actually, I was in Jeremiah this morning, and I was reading Jeremiah 12. And verse 1 says, righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. And it struck me. I was like, you know what? God doesn't mind it when we complain to him. He doesn't mind it when we bring our doubts, our fears, our concerns, our anxieties to him. What he doesn't like is when we go to other places for security, other places for answers. And I was reminded of the book of Habakkuk and this progression that we see in that book where the prophet goes from complaining to praying to rejoicing to prophesying. And I think when we begin from this place where we bring our complaints to God and we're honest with him, that naturally turns into prayer. And then when we find ourselves in prayer, we start to find perspective that allows us to rejoice. And then when we find this perspective of joy, then we can prophesy to the very real pain and brokenness that we find ourselves in and also that we find our world in. And so I think that message is very relevant to what we're navigating right now in our world.
Wow, what a progression. And you see that progression also in some of the Psalms, you know, where you go, as even Lisa was talking about, why so downcast, oh my soul, and or the list of all the laments and saying, I will rejoice and call to mind. I love that. Well, Addison, many people are calling this season a massive reset. And here's an excerpt from your book that I'd love for you to comment on in light of the idea of a reset that we're walking through. You say this, that we all have things before the thing, things that keep us from experiencing what will make us come alive, things that keep us from trading our lives for what matters most, things that keep us from following Jesus and learning from him. To find life, you must place these things, your career, family, money, dreams, success, relationships, in the proper place. Say more, if you would, in light of what we're walking through right now.
Yeah, I think it really has been a season of perspective. There's been so many things that we thought we could find security in, that we thought were unchangeable, immovable. I know for me, like, I never expected my kids to be out of school for 3 months in the middle of the year. I mean, this is truly unprecedented. And we've heard that word used so much. I mean, I've probably heard the word unprecedented used the last couple months more than I've heard it used my entire life. And it's an opportunity for us to reorient ourselves. So disruptions are gifts from God, because it's so easy for us to look to the goodness around us and to look to those things for security, for a sense of purpose, for a flavor of life that just isn't going to sustain us. And if you look at Jeremiah 17, going back to Jeremiah, there's this comment that God is supposed to be our trust. So we're not just supposed to have trust in him. He's actually supposed to be our trust. When we lose sight of that, when we lose sight that he is our rock, that he is our trust, these good things in life, they start to become something more than they were ever meant to be. And when that happens, whether it's a relationship or it's a career or even something good like a family dynamic, it can start to crumble and start to unmake the beauty that God intends for us.
Boy, very, very good. Lisa, in your devotional Strong, you write this: strength is a two-edged sword that can be used as a weapon of destruction or a means of release that sets captives free. And it's not unusual that the first captive that requires release is ourselves. I feel like this time is bringing up so much in people, but this is an opportunity for kind of revelatory freedom if we'll lean into it. So say a bit about strength being a two-edged sword, and oftentimes the first captive in our lives is us.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think a lot of people have got the wrong opinion of what strength is because it's been modeled wrong. So, excuse me. Again, you know what Addison was saying, we trust is God. God is the place we put our trust, but he's also our trust. He's all of that. He's our strength. And when we see people take on this mantle of strength for the wrong reason, we've seen it as combative, we've seen it as harsh, we've seen it as hateful. And I remember many, many years ago, God confronting me about my weaknesses. So, you know, I had this beautiful son named Addison. There he is. He's on the phone. Mm-hmm. And he's your typical firstborn. He did everything by the rules. Everything was in order. And then I had my second son. And I watched as my second son began to actually echo some of my captivity, some of my fears. I started hearing him to say things like, oh, I can't do that. I can't be that. And I sat down with him. I said, what would make you say such a thing? And, you know, he was like three. He was like, Mom, what kind of question is that? I don't have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. But I took it to prayer. And Susie, God said to me, Lisa, your son is fighting the fears you have not faced off with. See, I was okay with thinking, I want my children to be strong. And I was okay with remaining weak. And this is something Addison's heard me say so many times. God said to me in that moment, your children are either going to inherit one of two things, Lisa, either my promises or your fears. And he said, if you do not face off with these things, they will continue to grow and they will meet the next generation stronger. And so, Susie, I had to say, all right, I'm going to embrace strength. I'm going to actually engage with things I'd rather hide from. I'm going to take the word of God and I am going to allow it to pass between me and my limitations, me and my codependencies, me and my false sense of who God is and what he can do. And because, see, I believe that God was good for everybody, but not me. So if I had met you back then, Susie, I would have prayed. If you said, please pray for my marriage, I would have grabbed your hands, prayed for your marriage, believed for you. But I didn't believe that God would do it for me. See, I believed that God was good, but not for me, because I was too bad. And so I think that a lot of times we have to allow the word of God to reform our thinking. And God just said, you know, basically, he told me, he was like, you're basically crazy. You're asking all of the wrong questions. And when you ask the wrong questions, you will never get the right answers. And so I began to say, all right, I'm going to think your thoughts, not my thoughts. And then I thought, how do I think your thoughts? Well, your word is your ways and your thoughts. And so I began to immerse my time with renewing my mind. And so that is, I think, the number one way we set ourselves free.
You know, Lisa, we're going to pause here, but I love, you're such a woman of the word. And I also love how God speaks to you like he's a Sicilian. I mean, there's something about when you interpret what God has said, he sounds a lot. Anyway, I just think that's funny. And we're going to pause here. And I'm saying this by faith. We've got a few copies, I believe, I'm pretty sure, of Lisa Bevere's incredible devotion, Strong, and Addison Bevere's book, Saints, Becoming More Than Christians. So text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We're going to talk about how to walk in the power, the authority, and the knowledge of who we are in Christ, why that matters in this day. It matters so much. More with the Bevere's when we return. so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to our friends Lisa Bevere, Addison Bevere. Addison is Lisa's son. Addison is one of our monthly regular guests. And when I hosted Live the Promise in the afternoons a while back, Lisa was our monthly guest. And so we just love getting them. Just this is the first getting them both on together. Addison's book is Saints Becoming More Than Christians. And Lisa's book that we're celebrating today is Strong. It's a devotion. And she writes like she speaks. So text if you want in on the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Addison, in your book, Saints, you make this case for becoming more than Christian. I know we talked a bit about this last time, but for those who missed that interview, I want them to hear what you mean here.
Yeah. I have people ask me, Susie, like, are you campaigning against the term Christian? And the answer is no. But if I'm honest, I probably haven't liked calling myself a Christian for 20 years. And it's not that I'm ashamed of Jesus. I believe he's the one person who got this whole humanity thing right. It's not that I'm ashamed of the church. I'm just ashamed of the stigmas, the stereotypes, the labels that attach themselves to the idea of cultural Christianity. And when we look at the early church, we see a group of people that disrupted the norm. They were outliers. They were reaching out into the margins. They were bringing new people into God's kingdom. They had captured a vision of what it means to be the people of God, to energize the mundane. And if you look at the New Testament, the word saint is used over 60 times, and the word Christian is used only 3 times. And so what I'm trying to do with this book is I'm trying to give people fresh language to use in a world where so many people have lost hope and faith. And so that's a short synopsis of what I'm going for with this idea of becoming more than Christian. So again, it's not that Christian's a bad word, but I do think we've lost a lot of the mystery and the majesty of what it means to be the people of God today. And I'm hoping going back to this idea of becoming a saint can bring that back into the fold.
Addison, I think we've gotten used to the stereotype and we've settled into it. And I think you cast a fresh vision that it's so much more than the stereotype. It's so much more even kind of formulaic Christianity. I think you did a beautiful job of casting a vision that God has so much more for us. So I thought it was just great. Lisa, you and I talked about this after Addison was on, but you've raised some exceptional boys, I just got to say. And I want you to say a word of advice for maybe young parents who are listening today. I know also that there are plenty of parents who did right and didn't get right. A plus B doesn't always equal C, but there, you sowed some pretty significant seeds and fought some pretty good battles on behalf of these sons of yours. So say what you want.
Yeah, well, I want you to know that John and I did not do it perfectly. And I always feel like that's so important to say, Susie, because, I mean, God was a perfect parent, and Adam and Eve totally messed up. So I want to just put that out there to every parent that might think, oh, Lisa did it perfect, and that's why her kids are, they're amazing. First of all, I want to just be really clear. John and I are absolutely ridiculous people. We don't do anything halfway. When we would have a fight, we would have a fight big. I can't even count on 2 hands how many times John and I would excuse ourselves from the dinner table. We didn't send the boys from the table as much as we sent ourselves away. We'd be like, guys, we're gonna step out of the room for a couple minutes. And then we would have this, like, little yell in the bedroom. I don't know why we thought if they can't see us, they can't hear us. Then we'd come back out, and we would say something like, hey, so when I talked really disrespectful to your dad, that was wrong. And the boys would be like, didn't we hear that? And then John would say, well, when I was harsh with your mom, that was wrong. And the boys would be like, we knew that too. We're glad you guys know that. So I think it wasn't so much about us doing it right as much as it was about us owning it when we did it wrong.
Move your phone a little bit, Lisa, because you're getting very muffled, and I don't want to miss what you're saying.
No.
So there you go.
Did you not hear me?
Yeah. Now, Yeah, you said it wasn't so much about doing it right, and then you got very muffled.
Yeah, it was about owning it when you do it wrong. Mm. And I think too many parents are afraid of admitting that they've made a mistake. I think that same fear gets transferred to pastors. I'm so tired of hearing about pastors who end up ending their life because they can't find a place to get help and get help. And it's just really, really dangerous when we as parents or anybody else think that we've got to have all the answers for anybody, because we don't. And so, you know, our boys got to grow alongside of us. If you hear a lot of noise in the background, you know I am at home. They're all yelling. But, so I think that it was more about owning our mistakes. We had family meetings, which sometimes were incredibly uncomfortable but important, to have conversations about perspectives. And, you know, I think Addison can speak into that. But I will say the thing I love is I feel like Addison, he learned from watching us make mistakes. And I'm watching he and Julie raise their kids, and they're doing it way better than John and I did it. And I think when somebody knows to do better, they can do better.
So good. Hey, Addison, we've got about 2 minutes to our hard break at the bottom of the hour, but I would love from your perspective, you know, what parts of their parenting most impacted you, and how did God meet you to the point that it's just framed how you approach parenthood now?
Yeah, I would say a big thing about our family is my parents modeled this idea that humility creates safety. And I love what my mom shared about this idea that we were all growing together. Like, yes, parents are farther along in the journey, but they're growing alongside their children. And I know in our house, something that Julie and I do, we want our kids to feel safe to have hard conversations with us. When we fail in front of our children, we want them to see humility modeled. I mean, it says in 1 Peter 5 and James 4 that God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. And so when we have made a mistake, when we've missed the mark, when we haven't been the kind of people that we know and believe we should be, then that's the perfect opportunity for us to go to each other in relationship and say, hey, I'm sorry, I missed it. And when you do that as a parent, when you do that as someone who could quote unquote excuse what you've done and hide behind your authority, and your kids see you use your power in a sense to empower them to make the right decisions and to model humility, that speaks volumes.
Indeed. Remember when our kids were little, we raised three sons as well. And I remember hearing Dr. Gary Smalley say, never let your child walk away with a closed spirit. And what he meant is, even when you have to scold and you don't do it right all the time, but you know when their spirit just shrivels up and closes up. And after conflict, go back immediately and get their spirit open back up again, so their hearts stay open to you. And I think that impacted how we parented so much. And we have to pause here, talking to Addison Bevere. He's the author of the book Saints, Becoming More Than Christians. This book is beautiful, and it will call you upward. And then Lisa's devotional, Strong. It's weighty. It's heavy. And she writes that way, too. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We're talking about fierce faith. We're talking about holding our ground in a day when the enemy is trying to knock us off center. We're talking about truth, too. We'll talk about that on the other side. So many days of so many ways of departure that we're hearing about in Christianity. How do we hold fast to the truth as God meant it to be held to? We'll be back in a minute. Tuning in, I'm Susie Larson. Glad to have you listening today. We have Addison Bevere. We have Lisa Bevere on together. Lisa's Addison's mom. Addison is an author and a speaker in his own right. His book is titled Saints, Becoming More Than Christians. Great book. Her book, Lisa's book, is Strong. It's devotions to live powerful and passionate life. And really sharing with women that strong is not wrong. There's a way to be strong in Jesus. And you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We're going to get into just the idea of holding fast to the truth of God's word in a day of such departure. And this dear listener wrote in, I guess I'd love for both of you to speak to her question. How have you learned to relay the importance of reading God's word to Christians who talk about problems or their fears that can be answered in God's word? I'm asking in all sincerity because we're living in a time when God's word is rare in Christians' lives. Hard to explain why it's important without being offensive to them. It's usually offensive because they've heard this before, but they haven't done it. I've been poor at memorizing God's word and holding it firm in my heart. This is something I want to work on. Thank you for the show. And I'm not sure if you're asking questions or if this relates. Just wanted to throw this in. And I'm so grateful you did, Madison. What do you say? Well, I'd love both of you to answer it. But Lisa, why don't you go first?
Sure. Well, you know, I think it's, first of all, I think that sometimes we put pressure on people to memorize the word when meditating on it and living it is possibly more crucial. And so I think we need to be a people who can live the word, where the word becomes flesh in our life, it's expressed in our life, and it's not how much we read, it's how much we actually can remediate through how we live our lives. And I think that is important. So I think sometimes people get overwhelmed, like, I'm not memorizing enough, I'm not reading enough, I'm failing. And God's like, you know what, can we just start and let that word become alive in you? And then again, I think it's an issue of humility. If we can say, you know, we are in times right now where nobody knows the outcome except for I can put my hope that God is faithful. I can put my hope that God is my answer, that he is my strength, that he is my trust. I think if we put it back on us, that he is our frame of reference and we have a peace that passes understanding, that speaks just volumes to people more than preaching to them.
You know, that's good. And Addison, I hear often, about people in your generation, and this is why I want you to speak to it, because you are such an amazing bright light in today's world. But it probably isn't just your generation, but it's what I'm hearing about. It's just really choosing theology around issues, like secondary, like going out, hearing what people are writing about issues, kind of framing your theology and then cherry picking what's in scripture. And so I think Madison is right that there are plenty of people, professed Christians, who are not in the word at all. Lisa, I love what you're saying as far as get the word in you, let it be in you, part of you, and just your testifying to it hopefully will create a thirst and a hunger for others. But speak to that if you would, because she does make a point that there are so many Christians just parroting, really, fears, anxiety, but they haven't been in the Word in a long time.
Yeah, and I think the Word of God's like anything. It can be abused for your purposes. I mean, we got to keep in mind that the devil used Scripture when he was tempting Jesus. And so for me, it's so important to understand the greater narrative of Scripture. And I think a lot of people struggle with getting into Scripture because they don't know the greater narrative. They've just been sold all of these subplots, and they've lost sight of the whole. And when we look at Scripture, what we find is we find a story of relationship. We find a covenant promise that God will reconcile the families of the world by becoming part of a family. And so we start to see this as a tool for relationships, as a tool that makes sense of our lives, because God created us for relationship. If we think about it, everything meaningful that happens in life happens at the intersection of relationship. And if you really want a good definition for sin, and sin is what creates brokenness in our lives, sin is a violation of relationship. First and foremost, our relationship with God. Second, our relationship with ourselves. And third, our relationship with others. And so what the Word of God does is it gives us context. It shows us that the struggle is greater than our individual lives, because what that does is it gives us hope. It says, hey, other people, they've been through this. They've navigated what I'm going through in some sense. They've prayed these kind of prayers and they've seen God's faithfulness. That gives us perspective. We're in the midst of the storms of life. They see prayers that they can go to in the Psalms, and they can align their hearts, align their lives with people who've been praying these for many years across cultures, across denominations. I mean, that is so powerful. And so when we start to see Scripture like that, instead of a bunch of rules and arbitrary stories, then it starts to take shape and form in our lives, and then we want to be in Scripture. And then when we hear these shady, or we hear these misguided narratives that people share because they're pushing some type of agenda, we can identify them as a deviation of the greater whole. But it takes time to understand the Word of God. If this really is a relationship, it requires an exchange of intimacy. It just does. Like, I wish I could say there's like a quick fix solution, but there's not. Like, if you want to be intimate with God's word, it takes time. And I think sadly we reduce so much to what is scripture, to formulas. Hey, if you do X, then you'll get Y. And that just was never the intent for scripture. It was always supposed to reveal the heart of God and what that means for our lives and for our world.
I need someone to give me an amen. I'd ask for that every once in a while. I need an amen, friends. You got to text me, 877-933-2484. We're going to have to clip that out. I don't know that I've ever heard a better case for walking intimately with God, understanding the narrative of Scripture. It's an invitation. It's not an obligation. And in fact, Lisa, in your devotional Strong, you write, your affections will direct your decisions. Your affections will ultimately influence every part of your life. For those of us seeking to make God the center of our affection, the question becomes then, how do I set my heart on a God I cannot see? Answer that, if you would, Lisa.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I think that creation declares the wonder of God. And I think that when I can't see God, I can still experience him through the wonder of creation. And I think it is that perspective. You know, Addison is talking about that narrative. When I look at stars, when I look at the ocean, when I look at babies, when I look at a flower, all I can see is the goodness of God. That's all I can see. And what I find in religion is it's always pointing out the badness of man. It's always pointing out where we have missed. And so I, you know, I look at the whole dynamics of creation, declares the wonder of God, all of it, not just some of it, all of it. And we have just kind of isolated scriptures to religion. And I just feel like it's really sad that we act like God is not yet speaking. And I also find that worship is such a strong connection for me to the presence of God. And, you know, can I just go back onto what Addison was saying? You know, the one of the things that I find so compelling in the Word of God is the interaction. And Addison did such a beautiful job explaining that, you know, when Jesus had this encounter with a woman taken in adultery, he was not afraid of calling it sin. And you know, Addison, if you could just like talk about that, because I think that somehow we have made excuses to, you know, validate, oh, that choice was because of this brokenness. Jesus moved beyond all of that and said that sin is going to cause you to be a daughter of the shadow. And that's what he's talking about, as being a people of light. You know, can you do a little bit of that? Because when we see, it's not just, I don't condemn you, and it's not just go and sin no more. It's also, I'm the light of the world. All of that gets mixed into that equation.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I love that story, because Jesus, He made everyone mad, right? So her accusers, they were there. They were ready to condemn her. They were picking up stones. Their hearts were racing. Like they had finally caught Jesus in a pickle. And he sends them all away. And then we have this like nice guy version of Jesus that we get in this moment. He's just like, hey, go on your way, woman. I've rescued you through some clever rhetoric. But then he says something so crazy to her, so radical to her. He looks at her. He says, hey, I know that a desire for relationship, a desire for connection led you into the arms of adultery, and I'm not going to send you on your way and tell you that something greater, something that's a greater expression of freedom isn't available to you. So I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to say something that's even harder for you to hear than what your accusers were saying to you. I'm going to tell you to go and sin no more. I really think that line broke the woman down, because she knew, wow, he has seen me not just as I am, but as I could be, as I should be. I've always known deep down inside that there was something more than what I had given myself to. And that's something that God does so beautifully with us. It's something that he communicates through scripture, is he loves us in the brokenness of this moment. He sees us in all of our pain. He knows the depths of our being. There's nothing that we can hide from him. He's not afraid of our mess. He's only afraid of us hiding our mess from him. So he sees that. He knows that. But because he's such a good father, he's not content to leave us in our brokenness. So he lovingly and challengingly guides us into the fullness of truth, into the fullness of hope, into the fullness of freedom. And he leads us on that journey. And that's why I like to look at love as love is something that loves under purity. Like if it doesn't bring us to this point of freedom from anything that steals life, it's not true love. In some form, it's rooted in selfishness. And so for our God, when he speaks to us, when he calls us his children, when he calls us his holy ones, his saints, what he's saying is, I have this life, this beautiful life that I've designed for you, but it's going to require you to lean into the tension. It's going to require you to go places you've never gone before. But as you do, as you take these steps of faith, you're going to start to see that this is the only way that you were designed to live.
So good. And Addison, you write this, and I love this from your book, Saints. In the arms of new life, you will find the power and the perspective to rise above the limitations of your present world and its ideas of goodness. By the power of God's eternal spirit, you can become a saint, someone whose life's marked by a hope and a purpose that astounds our world and points people to the one who is life. And so good. And Lisa, you know, I was thinking about this season has shaken the confidence of many. And part of it is because we've misplaced some of our confidence. In times of prosperity, we shift our weight onto the things that cannot hold. And scripture talks about things are being shaken so that which cannot be shaken can be clearly seen. Talk about this as an incredible opportunity to find God really for who he is in this place.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I love that you brought up that passage because I do feel like that is what we're living right now, that God is saying, okay, you guys said 2020, year of clarity, year of vision, year of change. And God's like, yes, yes, I'm going to do all of that. And I'm going to do it by removing the things that now obstruct your vision. I'm going to do that by removing the weights and the sins that have so easily beset and hindered you from coming to me. And I feel like we've had this incredible opportunity to say, all right, God, hey, I realize now that some things had the wrong place in my life. And, you know, God doesn't point that out to make us feel bad about it. You know, I am Sicilian. So if I pointed out something wrong to my husband, I did it so he would feel sufficiently bad about it. And I would continually point it out again and again and again until I felt like there was enough remorse. But that is not the way God is. God shakes it. He says, okay, do you see the emptiness? Do you see the frailty? Do you see that you built your life with untempered mortar? Do you see that these things have fallen down and failed you? So now let's find the right things to build your life on. Let's find where to put our confidence. Let's find where to put our strength. And one of the things that I love, again, going back to the interaction in the book of John with Jesus and the woman in adultery, is this woman, when the last person that could have stoned her left, she stayed. And when we're asking about the presence of God and connecting in a season where we don't just go through this season, but we get out of it what we need, there is that uncomfortable, naked moment in front of Jesus where we all have to say, we've heard what the preacher has said, but I am going to stay here until you speak directly to me. And that, I think, is what makes this woman a hero to me. Because I would have taken off the moment the last person dropped the stone. I would have said, thank you, I am out of here. But she was tired of hearing about Jesus. She wanted him to speak to her. And in this time period where there is no busyness, we can have an encounter with Jesus, and he wants to speak to us. I believe that he is calling us to a higher place. He's not removing things to punish us. He's removing things to release us to be everything that he created us to be.
He's not removing things to punish us. You hear that, friends? We're going to pause here. He's removing things to release us to be everything everything he created us to be. One of my daughters-in-law said, you know, I know this is a tough time for our nation and our world, but she said it's proving to be one of the most revelatory times of my life. The things that are coming up, the things God's dealing with and healing, she said, I'm leaning in. I pray we could all do that, because there's always a holy invitation issued from God himself to make us more like him, to set us free. Talking to Addison Bevere, Lisa Bevere. Addison's book is Saints, Becoming More Than Christians. Lisa's book is strong. It's a devotion for women to live powerful and a passionate life. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. If you've got questions, comments, send that in a separate text. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. And when we come back, Addison, I'd love for you to speak a word of encouragement to the man listening today. Maybe he lost his job, but his confidence has been shaken. His world has kind of been turned upside down. Maybe you've got a word of encouragement for him today. More with the Beveres in a moment. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to our friends Addison Bevere, who joins us every month on Middays, and also Lisa Bevere, who's joined me quite a few times in the past, especially when I hosted in the afternoon. Love both of these. Love the Bevere family and their ministry. We're highlighting a couple of the books. Addison's written a brilliant book titled Saints, Becoming More Than Christians. Lisa's book, Strong, it's devotions to live a powerful and passionate life. And we're just taking your names. You can text book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Ryan will choose those winners at random, and we'll get those out to you. Talk, if you would, Addison, to the person, to the man listening today. Maybe he lost his job and the finances are turned upside down. And with men, you know, I think there's a sense of obvious calling on all of us, but there seems to be something very ingrained in a man's ability to provide for his family. But he's probably feeling shaken to his core in a sense of identity. What would you say to him?
Well, first of all, Susie, I want to say that I'm so sorry for the pain. I mean, that's hard. As a man, that's very difficult. This season, it's affected all of us in different ways. Like we're all in the same storm, but we've been affected by the storm in different ways. And it's blessed to mourn with those who mourn. So first of all, before I give any advice or anything like that, I just want to say that the pain is real. And that's okay for us to be honest about the pain. And I actually want to go back to what I shared earlier from Jeremiah 12 at the very beginning of the show, this idea where Jeremiah goes to God and he says, God, you are righteous. And because you are righteous, I'm going to bring some complaints to you. And then God turns around a few verses later, and I love this. He said, hey, you're complaining about running with men when I've called you to run with horses. In other words, I am disrupting your norm. I am shattering the status quo because I'm preparing you for something greater. And I would just encourage anyone who finds themselves in that place, man or woman, right now is the time to hit your knees, to bring your doubts, to bring your fears, to bring your questions to God. Because what God is going to do, as you do that, he's going to give you a perspective that reveals his faithfulness to you in ways that you have never known before. He will give you the perspective that you need to take the next step. But I want you to hear this from me. I felt this so strongly in the spirit. I want you to hear from me that you have not been disqualified. You have not been rejected. You have not been cast aside. This is a season of disruption for reorientation. There is something greater on the horizon. There is a new assignment. And I ask you to lean into the heart of God. And an important part of that process is first bringing your pain to him. Do not hide that pain. Do not hide the fear. Do not hide the uncertainty. His promises are big enough. He is not scared of your questions. Bring those to him. And as you do, you will start to get perspective in the midst of the pain. And that's going to lead you and guide you into this next season.
Somebody needed to hear that today. That is powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Addison, for that. And Lisa, you write about in your book, Strong, you talk about being strong in freedom. And you say, God is in the business of redeeming our mistakes, mishaps, and sins. Miracles don't always look like we expect them to. And beautiful things can be constructed from broken pieces. Nothing is impossible for God. But when a heart is broken, it becomes his first concern. You know, there are plenty of people who are grieving losses and people who will be grieving losses. Cast a vision, if you would, for God's not only tender care to these individual needs, but his capacity to set us free in ways we can't even imagine.
Well, I mean, I feel like you just captured it. And Addison, you know, I love that it's very clear that God is a ever-present help in times of trouble, that he's not distant, that he's not unaware, that he's not untouched. And it's just a matter of understanding that we can turn our heart to him. And, you know, and I hate to say it this way, but there's certain things that, and again, I turned 60 in June, and I remember somebody saying this to John and I when we were 30, and it made me mad. So I'm gonna prep this, may make some people mad, but it's only money. You know, if I was to lose everything but keep my family, I kept what was the most important to me. And relationships are the most important things. And if anything gets in the way of the less important, you know, it's just got the wrong place in our lives. And so God can bring back. He can restore. You see what he did after the devastating losses with Job. So God is going to be like, hey, I need you to understand I'm a good God, and I want to be involved in your life, and I can restore those things that look like they've been lost to you. But right now, I'm more concerned about what's been lost in your heart. I want your trust back. I want you to dare to dream again. I want you to hope. And something Addison and I have been talking about, that we both sense that God was saying, I need you to ask me. I need you to ask me for what you're going to need in the next season. And it's crazy. Of all the verses in the Bible, for Addison to bring up, we went to dinner last night with a pastor friend of ours, because we're in Florida where you can do that. And he quoted Jeremiah 12. And so many people have looked at the millennials and the Gen Xs and called them entitled and said that they haven't paid a price. Well, this is a season where they are going to show what they are made of.
That's right.
It is their chance to go from strength to strength and glory to glory. And I believe the heroes in them are going to rise, and they're going to say, you know, it was never about likes on my Instagram. It was about being Christ-like. It was about being a saint. And I love that a new banner has been thrown, a banner that is holy and a banner that is high for this generation, rather than legalism or lawlessness. And so I'm so honored and in awe of saints, the message of saints, of becoming more than Christian. And it's a longing, I think, for all of us that we have a chance to come out of this season as such.
Indeed. And just for the record, friends, this book isn't for millennials. This book is for everybody, because we've all settled in, I think, to an identity that's beneath our spiritual privilege. And this one, I believe, is from Addison, this quote, run to the arms of your father, ask for eyes to see him as he is. When you invite him in, he will fill your soul with the eternal. Yeah, this is Addison. He will give you the only things worth having. Become rich in love, become rich in wisdom and grace, become rich in him. And from your place of abundance, give everything you have here and now to those who have yet to know how lovely they are. Addison, we only have about 45 minutes, but I just want to ask you this. How are you praying? What's your prayer for this nation?
My prayer, Susie, has been, God, give us eyes to see something that's bigger than our individual selves.
Amen.
I think in this time, it's so easy to just look to ourselves, to just look at ourselves. And that's one of the things that troubles me about the narrative of a quote-unquote cultural Christian, where God, he's made it so clear, if we want to find life, we've got to lay down our lives. We have to pick up a banner that's so much bigger than getting to heaven one day or not feeling bad about ourselves. If we look at the Lord's Prayer, how does this start? Our Father who is in heaven. I think this is a season for us to go from my to our. And when we go from my to our, we start to see the purpose, the meaning, the community that we crave, that we're designed to know and enjoy. And so that's a passion I have. I'm like, God, my own life starts with us individually, my own life. What does that look like for me to go from my to our?
Brilliant. We got to pause here. We're done here, actually. Baveers, you got to come back. This was fantastic. Hope you found some encouragement.
Thanks for listening
here.
To this conversation.
From Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.